Ladies and gentlemen, we will continue, as we have in the last couple of weeks, talking about the heroes of the Carnegie Hero Fund Award. With us is Eric Zarin. He is the chairman of the commission and has been telling these stories. His own background as a Secret Service agent probably was a good background for the work that he does with the Hero Fund. Eric, nice to have you with us again. And who are your heroes you'll tell us about today?
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me. So we have case number 67887, which was the case of a Mr. Frankie J. Kennedy of Elko, Pennsylvania. And Mr. Kennedy helped to save a woman from drowning in Niagara Falls, New York, on June 14, 1993. A woman entered the Niagara River about 300 feet above the American Falls in a suicide attempt and was quickly carried downstream by, as you can imagine, extremely swift current, swift-moving water. And Kennedy, a tourist who's a plumber by trade, was viewing the falls from an observation area behind a railing. When his attention was directed to the woman in the water, he immediately, without hesitation, jumped the railing and ran to the water's edge. And from a point about 25 feet above the falls, Kennedy reached out from the bank for the woman, but she was just beyond his grasp. He then ran downstream closer to the falls and again reached for her. This time, thankfully, he was able to grasp her by the arm and maintain his hold while others who had followed him to the bank pulled her from the river at a point about 8 feet from the brink of the falls. So he saved the day on that occasion.
Wow. Well, now, there were other people involved this time. Many of your stories is an individual that does something, but this person, people rallied and saw what he was doing and helped. Does that happen often in your wards?
It does. As so often and too often, we see others on scene not act. In other cases, we see others act after the hero initially engages. And, you know, that I draw these from the annals and the records of the Hero Fund, and it's interesting. You know, every word in these case summaries in the historic record is very carefully thought out. And if you noticed, and if you didn't, we'll go back. But I mentioned in the first line of the story of Mr. Kennedy, I said that he helped to save a woman from drowning. And so when there is meaningful assistance from another party, we'll phrase that very carefully. Sometimes it's saved. Sometimes it's rescued. Sometimes it's helped to save or rescue. Sometimes it's died rescuing or saving. And sometimes it's dying, attempting to save when it was not successful in the sense that the victim wasn't saved in that instance. But very careful word choice that covers really a wide range of human action and inaction in these circumstances.
Well, now your story reminds me of a new award that maybe we should give, and that is the dumbest thing ever to do, and that's those people that get in barrels and go over right. Niagara Falls.
Well, if you've ever been to Niagara Falls,
oh, yeah.
You don't need any more mental picture painted in telling the story, because everyone knows how dangerous those falls can be and how imposing it is.
But I can't imagine why somebody would purposely get in a barrel and go over that fall. And a lot of them, I guess they've had some fatalities, but you hear the stories of the people that did that. I guess they're probably breaking the law.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah.
And that, hence the phrase dumb luck. Sometimes you're just dumb enough to get away with it, but I wouldn't want to take the chance.
Well, do you have another hero you can talk to us about?
I do. So I have James A. Parkhurst, who was investigated by the commission under case number 11464. Mr. Parkhurst was from Bradford, Pennsylvania. He was a baggage master and 40 years of age in 1913, so we're going back quite a ways, when he saved Nellie Schumacher from assassination in Riverside Junction, New York. Now, that sounds like there was an attempt on the life of a political figure, or but not so. Just interesting phrases from that period of time. This was a human assault, which we deal with too routinely, but it was an attack on Ms. Schumacher, age 46. So she was pursued by a man with an open razor. She fled a room in which were Parkhurst, our hero, an old woman, and a man with disabilities. The assassin, the record states, got Mrs. Schumacher down on the floor and was slashing her face and neck. Parkhurst sprang to the assassin and pulled him from Mrs. Schumacher, who then left the room. A violent struggle ensued between the two men, who were about the same size. Parkhurst finally got the assassin down on the floor held him with difficulty while he urged the old woman to take the razor. After being slightly cut in the first attempt, she did get the razor, and the assassin was allowed to rise. He offered no further violence at that point, and Mrs. Schumacher was in critical condition, but she did recover from the attack.
Wow. Well, that's scary. I think I'd be almost as afraid of someone with a razor as I would with a gun.
One thing we deal with in all of these cases is at the same time, the best and worst of human nature. Certainly in assault cases where an assailant and a weapon is involved. But the story, although prices are often paid, as you and I have discussed, Jim, really the final chapter reads as one that it gives us hope that somebody would still take action under those circumstances. But we see good versus evil in so many of these cases. And not that anyone's permanently defined either way. We hope that even in cases when someone has done something wrong to imperil another person, we hope they turn it around. But the fact that the hero was there and acted certainly changed a number of lives that day.
Well, it's interesting that his name was Parkhurst. He could be a relative of my wife. My wife's had her great-great-great-grandfather came to Washington County in 1771, I think.
Wow.
And he came from Tennessee, came to Washington County, and wrote a pamphlet of his experiences fighting Indian snakes, bears. Right. He took a trip down the Ohio River, and they had to ford the point at Pittsburgh. It was so shallow, they didn't have a ship channel.
The great frontier at that time.
And he wrote a pamphlet that said, the Adventures and Prevails of Jacob Parkhurst.
We should do some research and see if that's not this.
Yeah, he has, I think his book, a pamphlet, is in the Washington County Historic Society. So.
Wow.
It's interesting. Well, Eric, I want to thank you for being with us today. Your stories are marvelous. You really have convinced a lot of people about the importance of the Hero Fund. And when you think about it, it's something that should have been created. And just like the Congressional Medal of Honor for the military, the Carnegie Hero Fund Award is the very, very peak of bravery. For someone that's a civilian.
It sure is. And it's so important that Carnegie recognized so many of these human elements at the time. And when he established the Hero Fund, it was really something completely unthought of prior to that time. It was brand new. It was a new concept, but one that he had dwelt on for many years, that we should recognize and support these heroes.
Thank you so much, Eric, for being with us today and telling your stories. And we'll look forward to next week.
Thank you, Jim.